Good morning, everybody. Siblings in faith, I bring you greetings from Hope Presbyterian Church in Austin, Texas, and from Mission Presbytery, where your former associate pastor, Alex Pappas, now serves as a colleague with me in ministry just a few miles over from my church. Thank you for having me this morning. Thank you for the invitation to come and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you also for the care that you have extended to my dear friend, Gloria McGee, who was not only a former member of our church and clerk of session, but also someone who single-handedly helped launch a path of healing to me at a very dark moment in my ministry. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your love of her and your hospitality this weekend. I pray that whenever anyone who enters into this place, that they may know the welcome and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all who cross the threshold into this house of worship would be ready to prepare their hearts to receiving good news, and that they would be transformed by the joy of this community. Dear friends, let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of your servant's mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Help us to know your ways and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth, for you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all day long. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Our second reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. You may read along in your pew Bibles if you so choose. It is Jesus the Christ who says to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. It is my common practice, and I invite you to join with me, that as I am preaching, I will have times where I'm asking you to engage. So if that's something that is new to you or unsettling, perhaps maybe this is a chance to try that out, okay? Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. Let's say that together. Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. Jesus is teaching his disciples a valuable lesson about not worrying over food or clothing or the provisions of the day. Jesus is assuring them that God loves them, How many times do we need to be reminded, to be reassured that God loves us? Once a day? Once a week? How about all day long? Amen? Jesus is assuring them that God loves them and that they will be provided for. And yet, if there were ever to be an Olympic sport in worrying, raise your hand if you would be a gold medalist. If you don't have your hand up, you might be fooling yourselves. When we worry, we get divided into different directions. When we worry, we are pulled apart from ourselves and from other people. And we're pulled apart. We are distracted from that which is more important. And in this passage, Jesus tells us which is more important, and it is the kingdom of God. That is what is more important. And when we worry, we lose sight of that. A few years ago, I began serving as a reading buddy at a Title I elementary school in our neighborhood. And at that school, which was 90% economically disadvantaged students, every morning, all of the students are served a hot breakfast. Early in the morning, the cafeteria workers, they get there and they begin preparing the meals. They box those meals up and then they're sent out to the classroom so that as the students arrive, the very first thing they do is they have breakfast. At the beginning of the day, it gives these young minds, these developing brains, an opportunity to move past the pains of hunger, because a full belly begins to ease their worry. A full belly begins to settle their minds so that they can focus on the more important things of the day, like reading and writing and math. Now, whether we'll have enough food to eat today or not is not much of a worry for those of us here in the sanctuary. Today is Sunday, and it is 4 days before Thanksgiving, and most of us already know what we're going to eat on Thursday for dinner. Amen? Some of you may have already gotten some of those ingredients. Amen?
Amen.
Some of us may have already set out our post-Thanksgiving meal stretch pants. Amen? If not, there's a sale at Walmart. For folks like us, food isn't always the source of our worries. For us, worry comes in other forms. Sometimes worry comes from the strain of family relationships. Sometimes worry comes from the tightening of our financial belts. Sometimes worry comes from a variety of many other things that begin to cause our focus to be pulled away from the important thing that Christ is teaching his disciples. Our worry begins to distract us that from which Jesus would have us attend to first. Say it with me, strive first for the kingdom of God. Strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And God's righteousness. The discipline of faith is believing that God loves you. Let me repeat that again. Hear me when I say this. That the discipline of faith is believing that God loves you. Do you believe that God loves you? The discipline of faith is believing that and then allowing that belief that God loves you to guide your thoughts and to motivate your actions, not just for an hour on Sunday, but every hour of every day throughout the week. And when I say discipline, I say that because it is an exercise. The discipline of faith is an exercise. Oh God, here goes the preacher talking about exercise before Thanksgiving. The discipline of faith, the exercise of faith, is a muscle, our spiritual muscle, that must be strengthened and nurtured every day. And if we fail to exercise our faith muscles, then they begin to atrophy. And when they atrophy, the wayward thoughts, the daily worries, the stinking thinking begins to distract us and pull us apart. In your minds right now, I want you to think about the ways in which, about what it looks like when our spiritual muscles begin to atrophy. What does that look like for you in your life when you are not practicing the exercise of faith every day? We see examples of faith that has atrophied in our families. When we worry about how we're going to maneuver through conversations around the table to avoid upsetting our relatives or to avoid being upset ourselves. We see examples of faith that has atrophied when our churches begin to worry about the three B's on the backside of a pastoral transition. Y'all know about the three B's, the three most important B's that caused so many churches to be pulled apart and to be distracted are buildings, budgets, and butts. Aren't those the things that we begin to worry about when we go through transition, times of change? Don't we worry about all of these things now? We see examples of faith that has atrophied within our community, within our state, within our nation, when votes don't go our way, when economic and societal changes make it feel like things won't ever be normal again. Or maybe we're losing our grip on things of how they used to be or how we've always done them. Worry, worry, worry. Can't you imagine the disciples traveling with Jesus worrying? The discipline of faith, the exercise of faith in God's love and God's provisions atrophies when we worry. Slowly but surely, when we begin to get pulled apart, when we begin to get divided into different directions, we lose focus. Family dinners get awkward. Churches and their mission begin to get short-sighted. People in society, in our communities, they begin to retreat into their tribal corners of blue and red and purple and rainbow. This is not what Jesus is teaching his disciples. Jesus is teaching them to overcome worry, strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Later on in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, Jesus defines six righteous acts for those who are striving to put first the kingdom of God. Chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, there are six righteous acts. We'll see if we can name some of them. Anybody remember one of them? Feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Visit those in prison. Clothe the naked. Welcome the stranger. Care for the sick. When we are focusing on those six righteous acts that Jesus tells his disciples that by which all nations would be judged, when we are elevating those as our daily focus, as the exercise of our faith, Jesus tells us that we are doing that for him. I feel pretty confident in declaring that when we set those righteous acts as primary in our faith and in our practice of faith, when we exercise a discipline of faith that put these first, that we are striving first for the kingdom of God. And when we do so, our families, our churches, our communities begin to be pulled back together. We begin to see, again, a communion of our community. We are rebuilt around a common pursuit in the exercise of our faith. And our focus begins to shift from our daily worries about self-preservation to the joy, to the abundant, profound, liberating joy of seeing others thrive so that they may experience too the depth of God's love that we feel, that has been shared with us, that has claimed us on those days when we needed it the most. So how then do we exercise a discipline of faith? How do we do that which Jesus is calling us to do? Well, there's a few things that I've learned as a Christian that is something that I do in my daily exercise of faith. Humility. It was a profound day when I looked in the mirror and I began to realize with clarity that I am not Jesus. And my wife said, "What took you so long?" And my son said, "Duh." And someone in the church went, "Amen." Lead with humility. You know the verse from the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verse 8? What does the Lord require of you? To love justice, seek kindness, walk humbly with your God. If I could go back in time to the prophet Micah as he is writing that, I would quibble with him a little bit, and I would say, "Micah, could you put walk humbly first? How is it that we are to love kindness or to seek justice if we don't understand what it means to be humble before God and to walk humbly with Christ in the form of our siblings sitting next to us in the pews or on the streets?" Humility. The second one is turn to wonder. One of the things I absolutely love about children's sermons and children's time is that all of these young people come forward and they have this beauty of wonder in their eye. And they hang on each and every word of this new information that is being shared with them. And every day they live with a sense of play, exploring the world that God has created, that their family provides, that our society invites them to enjoy. Turn to wonder. How often do you live with a spirit of wonder? I don't know what God does or how it is that God does it, but I know that when I am in a spirit of wonder, I think it's incredible to be a part of God's world. If we would all just slow down just a little bit and open our eyes and pay attention, watching God at work in this world is incredible, amen? There are miracles that are happening at every house, on every street of every day. Turn to wonder, and then stay engaged. The most joy-filled moments of my life are the days when I have stayed engaged with God and the work of God in this world. When I put the kingdom of God first, and I strive to live the righteous ways of Christ. The most solemn days of my life are the ones when I step away from that, when I am living apart from community, or when I separate myself into isolation, out of relationship, and I begin to let worry rule the day. There's too much in this world, my friends. There are too many headlines. There are too many emails, text messages, and word on the street that would seek to cause you to live with worry and fret. What a waste of a day. When we do that, we are not putting first the kingdom of God. So be humble, turn to wonder, and stay engaged. This is what it means to exercise the discipline of faith and to live under the eternal reign of Christ the King. Not to be anxious, not to be divided, but whole, joyful, and free. And so this week, may we enjoy the blessings of our families and the provisions of food and home and comfort. May it be so. And with joy, may we strive first to live in the way of righteousness for the pulling together and the rebuilding of Christ's kingdom. May that be so. And next Sunday, as you enter into a new season of ministry with an interim pastor, may you have the faith in Christ the King, the one who reigns over all of the church's future. We know that pastoral transitions can stir up anxieties and wonder about what is coming next. But today, dear friends, remember that Christ is King, that Jesus is King over every season. He's King over every uncertainty and King over every change. Your hope, our hope, is not tethered to any one leader, but to the eternal reign of Christ, who is already at work in ways that you cannot yet see. Amen? Amen. And may we lessen our worries by exercising a discipline of faith that puts the kingdom of God first. May it be so. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to remember the gifts and blessings that you provide in our lives. Help us this day to trust in your care and to rest assured that we are held in Christ's gentle arms of love. When worry pulls us apart, pull us back together. When anxieties about the future distract us from the work you've called us to do, refocus our hearts on feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, welcoming the stranger, comforting the sick, and visiting the imprisoned. O Lord, you are King over all things, and you reign over every season, every transition, and every uncertainty we face. And so we pray that you would give us courage to strive first for your kingdom, that you would give us boldness to trust that as we do, all the things on which we worry will be given to us as blessings. Inspire us to know that in Christ's arms we have everything we need. Hear us as we rejoice this day and give you our gratitude. Amen.